Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We're continuing our look at an article in the December Ensign magazine, December 2013, an article titled, "The Good News of Repentance. There is great joy in heaven whenever we repent in sincerity of heart." It is an article written by Brian D. Garner, who was with the Church Correlation Department. These are the men and women who put together the manuals that Mormons study. And we have to assume, since these manuals put forth by the Correlation Department are actually vetted or approved by the First Presidency, at least that's what Mormons are told, that what is in these manuals, the material that is found in the manuals, can be assumed to be teaching true Mormon doctrine. So, based on that, I guess we could assume that Mr. Garner must know what he's talking about when he writes this article, "The Good News of Repentance." However, when we go through it and we use definitions that have been put forth by Mormon leaders themselves, we find that this good news is very quickly turned to bad news. Unless, of course, you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing as a Mormon, and that is that you've truly repented, which, as we've discussed, seems to be quite simply, you've stopped sinning, you've repented of your sins, you've forsaken them and abandoned them, according to Doctrine and Covenants 58:43, and you are also keeping the commandments. Not some of the commandments, we've already learned, and that's not what's being implied. You are keeping all of the commandments. And again, we have to ask, who is really doing that? Is Mr. Garner really doing that? Or is he hoping that maybe the definitions that of the words that he's using are not quite the way it's been described by his leaders? I don't know. I don't know the man. I'm just going by what he's saying in this article. I'm trying to read it through the lens of a Latter-day Saint. And that's important, folks. When you're talking to Mormons, you have to listen as if you are a Latter-day Saint, understanding the words that they are using, that they are defining these words the way they would understand it. That's what's important. If you try to have a conversation with a Mormon, assuming that the words they're using are being defined the way you would define them, then you are not going to be communicating with them.
And I think you made that point yesterday with the word mercy. I mean, the way that a Christian hears mercy and the way that Mormonism teaches this through the leaders and through their manuals are completely different. Same with the word forgiveness. We can use the word forgiveness. We know what we mean. What does a Latter-day Saint mean about that? With that word.
Well, going on in this article, we're now running towards the end of it here, but on the bottom part of page 43,
it says, "After doing all they can to repent, some worry whether they have been forgiven. The Lord has said that when we refuse to repent, He, quote, will withdraw His Spirit, Helaman 13:8, and that as we repent, He will, quote, pour out His Spirit, end quote, upon us." That's Proverbs 1:23.
Can I stop you there, though,
yeah.
Eric? After doing all they can to repent, some worry whether they have been forgiven.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. If you've really done all you can to repent, why would you worry that you are forgiven?
Because they know that they're not able to accomplish what they're supposed
to
do.
Well, this is the point I'm bringing up. I think he may be assuming they might think they've done all they can do, but the person who is actually in this conversation, this alleged person that he must be talking about, why would they wonder? Why would they worry about that if you've really done it? It's like the conversation I had with the sister missionaries down on Temple Square several years ago when I asked them at the beginning of the conversation if they knew for sure they were going to get the best God had for them, forgiveness and such, exaltation. They both said no. Then later on in the conversation, towards the end of the conversation, they said that they believe that they do their best and Jesus does the rest. And I reminded them, when I first asked you the question about whether or not you were going to be forgiven and get the best God had for you, you said you weren't sure. You said no. But now you're saying, if I do my best, Jesus does the rest. Well, obviously, I have to assume by your negative answer at the beginning of the conversation that you must know in your heart that you're not doing your best. I mean, doesn't that make sense? If you're doing your best, what does that really even mean? I have good days, I have bad days, but even my best, I think it's John Blanchard who said, if you think you're giving your best to God, you have a very low opinion of God and a very high opinion of yourself. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of Mormons can feel confident that they've received God's best or his forgiveness. And this statement really, I would think, would confuse me, because if you have done all you can do to repent, you should not have any worries about whether or not you were forgiven in a Mormon context. Anyway, go on.
And he says this next. Therefore, when we regularly feel the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we can be assured that the Lord has forgiven us.
So it's all about feelings.
That's what it is. It's very subjective.
See, there again is a difference between Mormonism and the message that's found in the New Testament. I don't say that I'm forgiven because I feel I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because Jesus promised me forgiveness. My forgiveness, my understanding of having that forgiveness, is based not on whether I feel it. It's based on a promise given by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And what we find in the New Testament when Paul says, and we've mentioned this before, about being justified by faith. I'm justified by my faith in what Jesus did for me, not because I feel anything.
And if you doubt that, Latter-day Saint, go read Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. I mean, chapter 4, Abraham justified by faith. Paul is making a very clear distinction as to what makes a saved individual. It is not the works. He goes through Abraham and all the good things he's done. And Hebrews chapter 11, same thing. Here is the hall of faith. It wasn't the things they did. It was their faith that is what saved them.
I'm reminded of Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Wouldn't that really apply to a Mormon in this particular case? For instance, a Mormon who comes up to you and says, Eric Johnson, I know for sure I'm forgiven. Well, he might think that, but yet we, knowing this individual's lifestyle, we would say that according to the dictates of Mormonism, he's not forgiven. He's deluded himself. And that's exactly what Proverbs is talking about. Deluding ourselves, thinking something might be right when in fact it isn't right. And if you have a Mormon who's going to tell you, well, I know I'm forgiven, I've met all these requirements, I think you and I both, if we were having a conversation with a person like that, would be thinking, this guy doesn't understand his Mormonism. He just doesn't understand his own sinful nature in this case.
Well, the article goes on, and it says this, as a mission president, I had the blessing of conducting many baptismal interviews. A primary purpose of the interview is to determine if the individual has repented. This is a very interesting statement, he says, Bill. I was impressed by how many individuals wanted to feel God's forgiveness for their sins. I mean, when you see this, he understands these people want forgiveness, and what's the Mormon way of getting forgiveness? Do, the and that we read a few days ago. And they want that. Mormons are just like you and I. They want to feel forgiven, but they don't feel forgiven, and they desperately want this.
Could it be the reason they don't feel forgiveness is because they don't trust Jesus to grant them the forgiveness? See, this is what I'm saying is the whole point of this. We believe that Jesus promised our forgiveness. How does he promise that forgiveness? By our faith in what he did for us. When a Mormon says, I don't feel forgiven, what you're really telling me is you don't think Jesus was telling the truth when it came to how to receive the forgiveness. Because despite the promise that is there in the New Testament, you are saying, well, I don't feel it, therefore I must not have it. You probably don't. Because if you think you've got to go through all these hoops, you don't. Because that's not the way it's done.
You know, salvation is found in no other name but Jesus. It says that in Acts 4:12. and you go to Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Romans 10:9 and 10, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I mean, these are the things that God wants us to do. It's not what you do that earns you the salvation. It's what God has done for you and the receiving of that that brings on justification by faith alone.
Well, what is that believing in Jesus and you will be saved? It can't be just to believe he existed. You have to believe his promises. That's what faith is all about. If I know for a fact that I have done everything I'm supposed to do as a Mormon as far as repentance and keeping commandments, there's really not a whole lot of faith there. I have the track record. I've checked off the boxes. I know for a fact I've met the requirements. Well, there's no faith involved in that.
Let me read the first column, the last paragraph on page 44. It says, when we consider what the Savior himself has taught about repentance, we better understand the role of repentance in our Father's plan of happiness. Repentance connects us to a loving, merciful, there's that word again, Savior, and his atonement. The more we recognize that our Heavenly Father and his Son have made the blessing of repentance possible, the more our gratitude for them will deepen, Jesus testified. And he goes and gives some different verses. There we go with the mercy. Again, as you said yesterday, we don't need the mercy if we are able to do what we're supposed to do.
And the key word, I think, in that paragraph is the word possible. It's merely possible. But it's only going to be possible and be effective in your life if, as we have seen, you've done all the requirements leading up to that. And again, when we talk about a merciful Savior, mercy is not given when somebody has deserved it. You just can't. That's the wrong word. I wish they would quit doing that because it makes no sense. To me, words have meaning.
Yep.
And when you use phrases like deserved mercy or merit mercy, that just makes no sense to me because that's not how mercy is given. It has to be undeserved.
You know, whether you've committed serious sins or maybe you're a Pharisee, I'm not sure who you are, but Jesus can forgive you wherever you are. There's no amount of sins that are too many for him. You just have to come humbly to the cross and ask for forgiveness, and our Savior will do so.
And I think we need to get that message across to the people because you can have that forgiveness without the baggage of Mormonism. It's the baggage of Mormonism that's preventing these people from knowing whether or not they are forgiven. That feeling is probably going to elude them, mainly because they know they have not really done what they are supposed to do. And you never will. You never will. Get that in your head. Go talk to the oldest man in your local ward and ask him if he still repents, and I'll guarantee you he will say yes. So this is not something that you overcome with age. You will not overcome your sinful nature. That's why we need the mercy of Christ.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever from Mormonism Research Ministry. If you are going to be in Salt Lake City this Friday and Saturday, April 11th and 12th, I hope you will attend the Capstone Conference at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City. This free conference includes a variety of excellent speakers on the topic of Mormonism. For complete information, visit www.capstoneconference.com. That's this Friday and Saturday, April 11th and 12th at Calvary Chapel, Salt Lake City. I'll be there, and I hope you will too.